Hello and welcome to The Pulse, talking tech at MHC. This podcast is produced by the educational technology team at Mount Holyoke College. Our staff are on hand to help faculty and students with the major technologies used in teaching and learning here at Mount Holyoke. If you'd like to hear more about what we do or collaborate with us on a project, please reach out to our team at edtech@mtholyoke.edu.
In today's episode, our colleague Stephanie interviews Laura Sizer, senior lecturer in philosophy, on the topic of artificial intelligence, or AI, and ethics. Enjoy the show.
I'm here with Laura Sizer, who teaches here at Mount Holyoke and is going to talk with me a little bit about artificial intelligence, which is one topic that you are discussing in a class you're teaching this semester. So to start us off, as far as your work is concerned, how do you define artificial intelligence?
Well, you know, when you ask a philosopher to define something, you have to be ready for a maybe slightly longer answer than you wanted, but I'll try to be brief. So artificial intelligence is the field or the goal of designing a system that can think like a human, or perhaps think rationally, not that those two things are the same thing necessarily. In other words, a system that can take in information and process it and do things with it in ways that conform with conceptions of human-like or rational thought. So that's sort of a, you know, bare bones definition. And you'll notice right away, perhaps you want answers to questions like, well, what do we mean by human-like thinking? And what do we mean by rational thought? And indeed, historically, the field of artificial intelligence has interacted with philosophy and other fields in the cognitive sciences, so that questions about and the project of understanding how human minds and brains work intersects with and informs, you know, artificial intelligence and vice versa.
That's super interesting. It makes me think that it's almost raising more questions than it answers when you start wondering about what artificial intelligence is. Would you say that's a close to a true statement?
It certainly does for me. And that's one of the reasons why I find this area so exciting, because it for somebody like me who's not sitting around trying to actually code the things, I get to think about, well, what do we mean by intelligence? How would we know if something was intelligent? And of course, you know, again, in the sort of recent history of the cognitive sciences, we see how learning more about how neurons work and systems of neurons work has informed neural networking approaches to artificial intelligence. But philosophy and logic, you know, informed sort of good old-fashioned AI programming in the beginning. So you've got this wonderful interdisciplinary crosstalk that I think is very exciting.
That is exciting. And there's so much more that each statement you make makes me want to dig into, but I'm going to try and keep us on track. So the next question that we had for you was, as we hear in the news about strides forward with AI applications, new tools coming available, what concerns do you have about the technology?
Let me organize my concerns under sort of two big umbrellas. So one is that technological innovation in this area is simply moving much faster than our ability to think about it, think about implications, really test it, wrap our minds around it, and certainly to design effective policies for testing and use. And so, you know, it's being driven more by big corporations that are certainly motivated by profit, but also motivated by this sort of drive to be the first to release something new and interesting. And I think this is a good way to drive innovation, but it's not a good way to allow us to reflect on what should and should not be done or how to manage it. So I really think that we need institutions and policies and people who have the incentives and the training to do this kind of work. I worry a little bit about almost a helplessness in the face of big technological innovation. It takes on this air of the train that drives itself. We can't stop it. It's just going to go and be what it is. And we just need to try to get used to it. But, you know, that's not the case. These are all, you know, human-driven endeavors. And we can think about the implications and decide to do something or not do something. I'm encouraged that there's a lot of conversation about that. And I hope that keeps going. So that's one big umbrella of concern. My other concern has to do with public perceptions of the technology. You know, it's artificial intelligence. It's got the word intelligence right in it. It must be smart. And certainly the new large language models, you know, can interact with us in ways that are sort of uncannily human until we ask them certain kinds of questions. And so I think it's really easy to think about and rely on these systems as being sort of super intelligences and kind of seed our human decision making over to them in places where we shouldn't, because they do have, you know, significant flaws and shortcomings. And, you know, the one I think about a lot is in thinking about the large language models in particular. I think it's important to recognize that they don't really understand things. At least they don't understand things in the way that we do. The things they say are not grounded in the real world, in the physics and biology and causal forces that we move through as human beings. And that's why they're prone to hallucinations. In fact, I don't think I'm alone in disliking the term hallucination, right? That's the term that people use to pick out places where the large language models make things up. But everything they output is made up in using the exact same processes. So it's just that in some cases we spot that something that they've made up doesn't conform to the way the world is. And so, you know, I hope as these things get released and more is being talked about with them, that we start to figure out what their strengths and weaknesses are and how to incorporate them into our ways of doing things.
That makes a lot of sense to me. And especially picking up on that kind of lack of precision in language, where we're calling it a hallucination, which evokes certain things, but those, I don't think, are actually the impressions of the word hallucination aren't applicable to a computer program unless you're really romanticizing it, right? So I hear you on that. And I think it's an interesting thing to kind of bring before our listeners who, you know, are probably coming from all different backgrounds. Besides those concerns, which are real and in their own ways pervasive, are there elements of these developments with artificial intelligence that you find exciting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I find what's been going on recently just gobsmacking. And so, you know, we shouldn't forget, or we shouldn't overlook the fact that, you know, these systems are being used to make real strides in, you know, medical diagnoses, reading mammograms, guiding surgeries and diagnoses and other scientific endeavors in ways that are really amazing. And aside from that, I do think that the work on the large language models and natural language processing is pushing our conceptions of language use and language learning in exciting ways. You know, and selfishly, I gotta say that it's all making the work of philosophers, I think, perhaps a little bit more relevant. Right now, lots of people are asking the kinds of questions that philosophers like me have been asking for a long time about, like, you know, ethical issues of, you know, fairness and transparency and privacy that we've been talking about for a long time, but also, you know, what is it to be human? What is it to be conscious? How would we know if the AI, you know, was sentient, right? Those sorts of questions that are have always been and continue to be fairly abstract questions, but now they've taken a kind of root in the current developments. And so that certainly makes my job really exciting in new ways.
Nice. I'm glad to hear it, that it brings that extra level of awareness and interest to questions that, you know, seem really core to that philosophical pursuit. So that's so great. Thank you for joining with us today. We were so glad to be able to have you on this episode, ask of you three questions about artificial intelligence. And we hope you have a great time continuing to interact with this topic.
Thank you very much for having me. It was great talking to you.
Hello, Matt here with one thing you should know about LITS. Want a quick and easy way to catch up on what's new in LITS? When you use one of our bathrooms, read the latest installs, published monthly during the academic year. They include upcoming changes to hours, special events, and at least one fun fact from the MHC archives.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. This is Sky, here with the answer to our last technology trivia question of the season. Our question was, which Mount Holyoke alum serves as the director for the Child Brain and Perception Lab, researching the impact of social experiences on infant and children's perceptions of others? And the answer, Charisse Picron, class of 2008. That's all our trivia questions for season 2. We look forward to connecting with you again in our next season.